Good to see those who are willing and able to make it out this afternoon to study another portion of God's Word. We're going to be talking about the 16th chapter of Judges this afternoon, which is the conclusion of the story of Samson. I was going to try to do chapter 16 and 17, but actually 17 and 18 tie together and are one of the stranger stories that we find in the Old Testament, so I definitely need more time to study on that. So we're going to kind of recap chapters 14 and 15, and cover verse 16 today. One of the things I've always found fascinating about the Bible is that the people who claim that the Bible was written by men, if you were going to write a story and try to get people to follow after it, you wouldn't write it the way the Bible is written. The Bible is full of very human and very flawed characters, and certainly the person that we're talking about this morning, or this afternoon, Samson, was one of those people. And so the Bible is very frank and out front about the fact that none of us are perfect, including those who are chosen by God for specific tasks, such as being the judges over Israel in the time between the leadership of Moses and later Joshua, and the time when the Israelites would petition God for a king. We have the time of the judges, and these were various people that came forth from different tribes to kind of be in a leadership position and to show and to redeem the people back to God, because they had fallen into a punishment. Most often because they had gone off and worshipped pagan gods. And so when we began our study of Judges chapter 14, we saw that Samson was born to Manoah, was his father. His mother is never named. He was a child that was promised from God, much like Isaac. And later on, when Mary was promised that she would be the mother of Jesus, Samson's life came about much the same way. His mother was told to raise him as a Nazarite. He was never to cut his hair or to drink alcohol and other things that applied to that that vow of being a clean person in the eyes of God. They were supposed to be observe all the dietary laws about cleanliness, the food that was unclean as well. And so Samson grew up and he was strong. And the other thing that his parents were told was to never cut his hair. And he was, his father, Samson saw a girl that he desired. He wanted her for a wife. She was not a Jew. If you'll remember back in, Moses, the law of Moses, all the different things that the Jews were told to do. Commands was that they were not to marry outside the nation of Israel. And we saw that time and time again, the Jews forsook that law and went after strange women, and women went after strange men from other cultures. And this is ultimately what would lead over and over again to their drifting into paganism, is they would fraternize and become friends with these people that weren't Jews, and they would be influenced by their pagan lifestyle and the partying, as we call it in the world today, in our culture, and all the things that look like fun. The Jews, time and time again, drifted away from God because that was something that seemed more enticing to them. So Samson should have sought out a wife amongst the females of the Jewish nation, but instead she desired this woman. And he went and told his parents that he wanted to marry her. So his father arranged the marriage. And if you remember the story, the girl, on the way to the wedding, Samson killed a lion. And when he came back a year later, that's when the marriage was arranged. When he came back a year later for the actual marriage celebration, he saw the lion, the carcass of the lion, and the bees had built a hive in it. And so he contrived a riddle that he presented at his wedding feast, and he said if anyone could answer that riddle, he would give them 30 sets of clothing. If they couldn't answer it, then they would have to give him 30 sets of clothing. And this girl that he wanted to marry convinced him to tell her what the answer to the riddle was, and then she went and told her countrymen. And so Samson was embarrassed because they hadn't figured out his riddle, but they knew the answer to his riddle. And so in his anger, he went and slayed 30 men and took their clothing and gave it to these men to satisfy his wager. And then Samson took off. Later on, we see that he cooled down a little bit and he went back and decided to reclaim his fiance, so to speak. And when he got there, her father had told him that he had given his daughter to another man and had offered his younger daughter to Samson. And this enraged Samson, so he caught 300 foxes and tied firebrands or torches between their tails and set them loose into the Philistines' crops and their orchards and groves and destroyed a great bit of their food supply. And in retaliation, the Philistines burned his fiance and her father, burned them alive. And Samson, in turn, retaliated back by grappling or hand-to-hand combat wrestling with the Philistines. And he ended up slaughtering a great many of them until he felt that his justice had been satisfied. Then he left that area and he went to Edom. It's a city on a mountain that was in the territory of Simeon along the border of the land that tribe was given. And that border, the land of Simeon bordered the land of Dan, and Samson was from the tribe of Dan. So he actually went into another territory to kind of stay there for a while. And while he was there, some of the Jews from the tribe of Judah came and confronted Samson about the conflicts and the things that he was doing to the Philistines. And at that time, the Philistines were lording over the tribe of Judah, and they figured that they were going to end up suffering retaliation for all that Samson had done to the Philistines. And so they kind of gave Samson, a house arrest. I guess they said, hey, we need to turn you over to the Philistines, or they're going to come after us and punish us for the things that you've done. And so Samson agreed to go with them as long as the Jews didn't attack him or antagonize him or try to kill him. And they agreed to that, so he went with them. And when he got to the Philistines, the bonds that were on his arms came loose, and he picked up the jawbone of an ass and slayed 1,000 Philistines. This was like the thing most people will tell you they know about Samson. And once that battle had ended, Samson complained to God that he was thirsty, and God created a fountain there at that place where Samson could quench his thirst. And so far what we've seen of Samson is not exactly the role model you would look to as far as someone who followed after God. He was constantly, as we're going to see in chapter 16, he was constantly seduced by women. That was his Achilles heel, or his weakness was if he saw the woman that he liked, he would do whatever she wanted him to do, including give up the secrets of the strength that God had given him. But nevertheless, Samson was one who was leading the Jews at this time. We'll read now from Judges chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazite, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the mountain, to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. So once again, we see, as we mentioned, Samson is enticed by the lust of the flesh. He sees a woman that he desires, and he goes to be with her, and someone spots him entering into her. Her inn is, some people suppose, that she was an innkeeper as well as a harlot. And for whatever the situation was, they knew that Samson was there, so they decided to kind of surround him and hope to kill him, because, again, he was causing a great deal of grief to the Philistines pretty much single-handedly. So he woke up during the night and must have sensed that he was in danger, so he decided to leave the city And when he left, he took the gates of the city with him. And of course, this would endanger the city. The reason the city had gates was to protect it from their enemies. And so he kind of got back at them by taking away their protection. They would have to reconstruct the gate of that city in order to protect it. We'll continue reading now with verse 4 of chapter 16. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sirach, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him and see wherein his strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it is touched with fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in waiting, abiding in the chamber, and he broke them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hereunto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with a web. And she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awakened out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. So, having read this, we might question Samson's wisdom or his smarts, because over and over again, Delilah tries to trick him into being tied up, and she calls in the Philistines, and then he breaks the bonds that are being put upon him and thrashes the Philistines. And so it must seem to Samson like this is just a game, like he's just having fun with this girl, and they're teasing each other back and forth. And it seems kind of odd to us in hindsight that he didn't realize that she didn't really care for him, but that she was just trying to trick him in order that the Philistines may exact their revenge upon him. But he continues to trick her, and then finally he tells her that if his head is shaven, that will cost him his strength. So we see that a third time Samson has been captivated by a woman that he should have avoided. And because of this, he's going to suffer terribly, because he can't keep his priorities straight and to stay away from these women that he needs to stay away from. And of course, there's a lesson to us today about choosing the right mate. When we grow up and we decide to be married and to start a life with another person, we have to be sure that that person has the same feelings that we do, and that that you're getting married for the right reasons and not the wrong reasons. And that, and we certainly see that society has become more and more lax in this country about divorce. I know when I grew up in the 60s, divorce was still a taboo thing, at least in the Midwest where I grew up. It's like it was very unusual for you to know someone whose parents had gotten a divorce or were going through a divorce. And nowadays it's as common as anything. And you run into people that have been married 3 and 4 times and it's just become more and more of a frowned upon institution, or one that's not taken with the seriousness that God intends for it to be. But this shows us how just being attracted to a person physically could be all the wrong reasons to commit your life to someone, that you need to be sure that they love you as much as you love them, and that you're going to have a good life together, not one of turmoil. And so obviously Samson cared a great deal for Delilah. Obviously she didn't care for him, because she wanted the money more than she did his affection and his love. And so she was willing to betray his secret. Well, now read verses 18 through 21. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, and she went out and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. So Samson here, after Delilah's called in a man to cut his hair after he's gone to sleep, didn't realize that his head had been shaved, and he went out to confront the Philistines again, only this time he didn't have the strength that God had blessed him with before. And so he was not able to resist the Philistines, and they were able to bind him and throw him into prison. And they also put out his eyes. If you remember over in the book of 1 John, John says there that that all sin is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so we realize that Samson paid for this, the lust of his eyes, in that he couldn't control himself around women. And so that cost him his eyesight. And then he was caused to grind grain in the prison. And there's various ideas of exactly what this meant. Usually when you think about ancient days and grinding, you see a couple of people at a huge mill that are pushing it around, or animals. This probably had more to do with grinding the grain by hand once it had been, once the shell had been cracked in a mill, then they had to separate it by hand. Whatever it was, he was set to manual labor now in prison because he had given Delilah his secret and she had exposed him. And now the Philistines were getting some measure of revenge against Samson for all that he had done to them. We'll now read the remainder of the chapter, verses 22 through 31. "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, 'Our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand.' And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, 'Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us.' And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, 'Call for Samson, that we may make us a sport.' And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, 'Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them.' Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, 'O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.' And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, the one with the right hand and the other with the left. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines,' and bowed himself with all of his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Esthiol in the burying ground of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. So Samson was there in prison, and he was being punished and tortured and made fun of by the Philistines. His hair, as hair does, slowly began to grow back. And with that, his strength returned. And the Philistines were having this great party, and they were attributing their defeat of Samson to a blessing from their God, which of course we know is a fake God. And this is no doubt is what made Samson angry, because he knew that the reason why they had been able to defeat him was because that he had betrayed God. He had turned against God, and he had done the thing that God told him not to do, in that he created a situation where his hair could be cut. And so he asked God to forgive him for what he had done and to give him strength one more time so he could defeat the Philistines and these people that were claiming that their God was more powerful than the one true God. And his sight, his strength came back, and he was able to destroy that the arena that they were in, and to kill, as it said, he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. So we know that the Philistines didn't totally go away later on. David is going to have to confront the Philistines and Goliath, but this put a great damage to that nation with all these lords and the many people being killed. And Samson thought this a worthy end to his judging of Israel if he could defeat these enemies of God and destroy the paganism that they were spreading throughout that part of the world. Most of the judges that we talked about so far ended up living long lives, and it talks about their lineage and their children. Apparently, Samson, even though he messed around with all these various women, never had any children. And so his story as a judge of Israel ends a little bit differently than the rest of them. And even though it may not be, he may not be a perfect role model for us as Christians or as the children of God, we can certainly learn from his mistakes. And that's one of the things in life we find that so many people fail to do. They make mistakes, they trip, they fall. Sometimes they fall down a hill and it's hard for them to get up, but they don't learn from the things that they've done wrong, and they keep making the same mistakes over and over again. As Christians, we realize that that's something that we need to avoid. And much like Samson should have done, we need to recognize the things in life that we're prone to be weak, areas where we're prone to be weak and we're prone to sin, and put those things out of our life so they don't affect us and don't affect our chance at an everlasting life. Because the sin means more to us than a home in heaven. So hopefully some things have been gleaned from this lesson, and some things that we can take and think about whenever we hear somebody mention this story and understand its impact on the world at that time. And of course, our impact is Christians and the children of God as well. We never want to end a service without offering the services of the church to any who might desire or feel the need to request the prayers of the church. Won't you come while we stand and sing the invitation song?